Just a quick heads up before we get into this episode, I misspoke. This is actually episode 342. Hope you enjoy it. Hello and welcome back to the FitCast. This is episode number 341. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and just about 100 episodes ago, episode 243, I had someone on the show named Lori Lindsay. At the time, she was on the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team, and now she's on to a new chapter. Lori, what's up?
Hey, Kevin.
I was trying to make that like dramatic.
Yeah, it was dramatic. I like it.
I was trying to do like almost like my like 30 for 30, like that guy who just good. Like makes everything exactly. Sound like life threatening. but thank you first off for coming back on the show. Like I just like it is so weird. Like it's just so to look on my episode 243. That was about 2 years ago. It feels like a long time though.
It does. It does seem. And everything's changed. Quite a few changes for me. But thanks for having me. I love being on this podcast. I love listening to the podcast. So when we got in touch last week, I was thrilled.
Well, let's talk about the new chapter because, I really wanted to get you on the show because of the really cool new stuff that you're doing and to kind of talk about where you're at right now. So what's up?
Yeah. I just retired from professional soccer in December after about a 13-year pro career. So that was exciting in itself, but also a little nerve-wracking that I've been playing for so long, 30-plus years I've been playing. So, I just finished up. I finished up playing in Australia. They had a four-month season, so finished there. And then now I'm back in D.C., and I'm working with a guy by the name Carmen Sterniolo, and he runs a company called Ambitious Athletics. We just opened up, it's a small independent gym here in DC, and we just opened up a new facility right in the city. So quite a bit of change, but exciting change as well. I think if anybody's kind of been following my career, they know it's been no secret that strength training's been a huge, huge part of it. And I credit it for a lot of my success and my longevity throughout my career. So here I am coaching, female athletes, general population. Kind of our motto here at Ambitious Athletics is if you have a body, you're an athlete. So, it's been good. It's an exciting change.
Well, I hope you don't mind if we talk about retirement for a second, because obviously that's not, a decision that you make in a couple minutes. So, I've talked to some athletes that have been retired and I've always kind of asked them like, what is it like, when you retire, is it like a relief or whatever? And the two things that I always get is like, it's either like I can finally stop sprinting. Like I feel like I've been sprinting since I was like 12 or whatever, when I was like the best kid on that team. And then I was the best kid on my high school team, best kid on my college team, and then in the pros, just trying to keep up, and sprinting. And now I feel like I can stop sprinting. And then the other is obviously to be honest, I don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah. So I'm kind of curious where you are on that spectrum.
Yeah, the first analogy about the sprinting does make a lot of sense. And it is true. I think for me, I'm very grateful for my career. It was a long career, playing career. I played in, we've had three domestic leagues, domestic professional leagues here in the States. And I played in all three, and there's been only three other players that have played in all three as well. So in terms of like injuries, I've been very fortunate in that regard, which obviously aided in the longevity of my career. But I think towards the end, I just started, I went to the World Cup, was an alternate for the Olympics, so participated in the Olympics as well. And, I was fortunate to, and with a lot of hard work and patience, I must say, I was able to fulfill and achieve all of like the goals that I had set out to from an early age. So I feel, in terms of my playing career, very fulfilled in that regard. So when I started to make a decision about retiring, it was more I could feel myself, my interest starting to, best way to put it is some of my interests outside of soccer were starting to be bigger than me playing. So I felt like I achieved a lot, maximized my athleticism in the sport, done everything. I was like covered a ton of bases to try to improve my athleticism before, or throughout my career. And so just towards the end, I could tell, other interests were taking over. And I had always told myself if that was the case where I started to lack some of the motivation in my preparation for the game, then I would start to look elsewhere. And fortunately for me, between a couple of our professional leagues, when there was some downtime, because we've had a couple of failed leagues here in the States, I did some personal training and I really fell in love with, that side of sport. So I kind of knew this was the avenue I wanted to take, and it was just a matter of kind of all the pieces fitting together. And so when I met Carmen, you know, it was kind of like serendipity, I guess you'd call it, or it's just, you know, in the right place at the right time, and all the pieces were fitting together. So, you know, and now here I am, and I just have this great hub with Ambitious Athletics to be able to put out some content that I want to in terms of female training and stuff that I'm really passionate about, but also coach on a daily basis and continue to improve my skills as a coach and within the strength and conditioning industry.
So it sounds like it's not, you know, not a super difficult transition for you. You get to continue to do something you love.
Yeah, in terms of the actual transition and doing something I love, yeah, absolutely. Now, there's definitely some changes to my daily life and some challenges. You know, before I would go train for soccer and it was all about, okay, how can you improve your athleticism? I mean, there's definitely challenges in that regard. And I mean, you know, if anybody's played professional sports or you can imagine it, I mean, it's one of the best professions ever be in. I mean, you are living the life, you know, but there are tons of, I mean, it's difficult, you know, you're expected to perform. Mm-hmm. It's cutthroat in many ways. And so, but now it's like, okay, as I transition into this, I'm trying to get a website going. It's a challenge to write blog posts because I'm not used to that. So there's just different challenges where before I'd like finish working out and I'm like, okay, that's a good day's work. And now I finish working out in the morning here at the facility and I'm like, oh, okay, the day is just starting. So yeah, so there's different challenges, but I welcome those challenges and I know it helped me grow and it'll just take some time. So I welcome those.
Yeah, I hope you don't mind, but it's going to be fascinating to watch, you know, see someone like kind of make that transition into the, like, you know, the fitness industry now, and it's, you know, it's perfect timing because I just had John Goodman on from the PTDC a couple weeks ago. And, you know, just talking about, you know, all these great coaches that, you know, the main thing that they're missing is they don't know how to communicate with people. They don't know how to get their information out there, or they're just lacking the ambition, or, you know, just thinking that I don't want to be one of those, you know, internet gurus or whatever, you know, you want to call it. But, you know, from the sounds of it, you're doing everything, you know, perfectly. You got, you know, the facility up and running, and that next thing is trying to get that content out there to make sure people, you know, can hear what you need to say and, you know, get people to continue to hear the message going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. So in that regard, I'm lucky and fortunate. So just kind of chipping away every day and, you know, it's kind of cliche, but don't get caught up in the fears because that's easy. You know, I'm not used to like the writing and that kind of stuff. And I could easily get a little paralyzed by, oh, geez, what am I actually trying to say here? Mm-hmm. So just been trying to chip away every day and kind of really hone in on what I want my message to be.
So what's and again we'll transition to some other stuff, but I'm kind of curious what's the biggest pain in the ass when it comes to this stuff, you know, for you, from someone that, you know, has to start more or less, you know, start producing content and, you know, start, you know, spreading the word in the, you know, this gigantic fitness industry.
Yeah, I think for me, it's just reminding myself that, you know, that there is a, like, okay, for instance, I'm really passionate about strength training for young females, and that was huge for me. I started when I was a freshman in high school, and the confidence that it gave me both on and off the field was amazing. And so, and I saw, I mean, I, you know, it really kept me in the game for the most part, because I wouldn't be considered, I grew up in Indiana, and yes, I was way above average athlete in Indiana, but as you continue to climb the ladder, I mean, by the time I got to the national team, it was like, I mean, I'm bottom of the barrel, you know? I mean, we have some freak athletes. So, for strength training and, the empowerment it gave me, I feel very passionate to pass that on to young females, especially as you see so many more in the United States participating in soccer, but also at such a young age specializing in soccer. Mm-hmm. I'm training this girl right now who's a freshman in high school who has had her second ACL already. And I remember in high school, in my freshman year, I think I'd heard ACL once. And so it was just it was unheard of then growing up. So you just see all these females in particular who are having to specialize in an early age just because they feel like they need to because of the competitiveness of the game and more kids participating. But you can also see that their bodies aren't really equipped or prepared to be playing year-round. There's no strength. So that's my message that I want to get out, and it's just a matter of continuing to hone that and getting that out there in like a very precise and concise way. And so I think that's has been the biggest challenge is day to day is like, okay, what stories do I have that can relate to these readers?
Exactly, yeah.
And that it's just not going to mold right into what everyone else is saying. So, and how can I differentiate myself slightly? But my goal is I love like the Jen Sinclairs, Molly Galbraith, all of these women, Nia Shanks, all these women in the industry that are empowering women through strength at around my age and just women, older women in general. And so my hope too is not to only empower these young female athletes, but also to help educate them so that as they go through life, they are already knowledgeable. So it's not when they get into their late 20s, early 30s and they're like, crap, I need to get in shape or maybe I should get stronger. They'll have a base, they'll have an idea. So, I would like that transition to be easier for women as well.
Absolutely. And just to give a shout out, you know, if you're listening to this, you might like podcasts. So Nia Shanks is now doing a podcast called Lift Like a Girl. That you should definitely check out, some amazing interviews that she's had on there. And it's on my list, you know, every single week when she puts those out. So go and check that out. It's on iTunes and you can just go to niashanks.com as well. Definitely want to give her a plug for the awesome work that she's doing. More content from these people, the better out there. So I think you're in a
perfect... I've already got a new podcast.
Yeah, I know, right?
I have a new podcast and a new book from you already.
This is what awesome. I do. I don't just produce the content. I direct people towards other content. Also, if you want to hear about old video games, backofmyplay.com is a great resource for dumb stuff when I talk to other people about old video games. So... I think we like at MVSC, we always have to have this discussion with parents or, you know, it sometimes it is like, you know, when do you have this discussion with the parents when you have, for us, it's hockey, obviously. So, you know, I have some girls that are in my middle school groups that are playing hockey year round. And it's not just like, you know, they play year round, but they play in multiple leagues year round. So they're playing in two leagues at the same time. Playing tons of hockey, you know, luckily they're at least coming to us twice a week. So they're building up some strength, but, you know, I'm curious, have you had to like have any of those conversations with parents being like, yeah, and you know, I know, you know, we'll just say your daughter, or whatever, she's good, but it's not like she's going to be the next great soccer player. If you keep keeping her in these leagues all the time, have you had to run into any of those discussions?
Well, I haven't really, but one of the things with the girl that one of the girls I'm training right now with the two ACLs mm-hmm. is, you know, talking with her parents. And I think their question is like, okay, you're seeing on their daughter's team, there was like three or four other players with knee injuries at the same time. And they're like, okay, wait, we're seeing, this is five players on one team. How is there not through this club being something being implemented, you know, whether it's the warm up or, and so I think the parents are now starting to question, okay, what can we do to prepare these young female athletes a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. And whether it's just through a proper warm up, some simple body weight exercises that get their bodies a little bit more equipped and just to bring them some body awareness. And so again, Olivia, the girl that I train, she was like, you know, I had no clue about, I wasn't thinking about my body at all when I was playing, but now after these two surgeries, I have so much more awareness. But unfortunately, it's taken two back-to-back ACL surgeries for her to have any idea about her own body, you know? So I think if it's going to be this competitive, you know, obviously I was playing multiple sports up and through high school. Mm-hmm. So, and you don't really see that as much anymore, but if you're going to see these kids specialize at an earlier age, then yeah, I think we need to start getting out to some of these clubs. And that's what I'm hoping to in the DC, Virginia, Maryland area here, to get out to some of the clubs and help educate not only the players and parents, but some of the coaches for some proper warm up and just some basic technique to help some of these young athletes.
Yeah, that totally seems like the tightrope you need to walk if you're going to be talking with these parents, like basically tell, you know, more or less in a very gentle way, saying the way that you're doing it is hurting your child. And, you know, our way, like our facility's way is going to be better. And it's almost like, it's a bad analogy. It's like Days of Thunder. All right. You seen Days of Thunder? Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is Days of Thunder. And I'm telling you, this is going someplace. So, you know, you have Tom Cruise, who's a great driver, but, you know, he's always wearing down his tires way too fast because he's not listening to, I forget his name, Robert Duvall. He's not listening to Robert Duvall talk to him through the headset. So basically, you know, he's just doing it his way. You know, he's keeping his, you know, head going forward and he's not finishing these races. And then finally, he just gives in. He's like, obviously, my way is not working. No, I'm going to listen to Robert Duvall. He clearly knows more about this than I do. And then he stops wearing out his tires and he starts winning races. And that's basically what the hell.
Yes,
I mean, this actually kind of makes sense. So this is like what we're trying to do as strength and conditioning coaches with these parents is basically, you know, say, all right, maybe you shouldn't necessarily listen to the guy that's organizing these soccer leagues and who's making money off your child, with every child that's doing this league. And instead, maybe, you know, we should put some of that income towards strength and conditioning. And if you just try it, just give it 3 months, see the difference that it makes, you know, and just trying to get them into the program. And like, we've done that with some of our athletes and, you know, they've been with us for years now. They just see the results almost. That's the great thing about strength and conditioning, especially with younger athletes. Like, the results are almost immediate. Like, you get results like every week with these kids. Mm-hmm. So they're constantly progressing and growing at the same time, but making sure that they're able to kind of deal with that growth and not just, you know, be kind of awkward when they're trying to be athletic.
Yeah, absolutely. So the message is being received positively, then, you would say, when you guys chat with the parents?
Totally. I mean, well, the great thing about this is, like, this is more a Mike Boyle, you know, having this discussion. You know, for me, it's usually the casual discussion of, you know, the parent brings their son or daughter in and, you know, they sit down and we start chatting before the group starts. And, you know, they'd be like, you know, little Billy, you know, he had four hockey games over the weekend. I'll be like, oh, four hockey games. Man, that's a lot. So what's going on this week? Well, he's got practice tonight after he's lifting. Then he has two games tomorrow night in the other league. And then he's going to be back here Wednesday to lift again. And then we have Thursday off. Then we have games on Friday, Saturday, Sunday again this weekend. I'd be like you just kind of initially have to start saying, oh, that sounds like a lot of hockey. You know, have any injuries been popping up? And usually I'll know these injuries because the first thing I say in every one of my groups, every single time I have a new group that comes in, or I should say, every time at the start of a new training session, I always say, are there any injuries I should know about? So I know every injury that every one of my athletes has and making, mm-hmm. and it's usually just like, it's always the same one or two kids. because it's the same one or two kids that are playing all the time. They're never resting. They're always tired. And it's because they never take time off, or they don't play a different sport. And that's when I try to like, oh, well, you know, yeah, how's Billy's knee? Like, is his knee holding up with all this hockey? Like, maybe you should kind of scale back on the hockey a little bit, maybe get him in like a third day this week, and we can build up some strength to make sure that doesn't happen again. And like, that's how I can try to go about doing it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we can only help as much as possible. And it's, like I said, it's that tightrope of trying to alienate the customer versus trying to convince them that your product or your system is right for, you know, what is literally the most important thing in their life, their son or their daughter.
Yeah.
So it's really, really tough, and there's no real perfect way to do it.
Yeah. It's funny, because when I was growing up, I thought I played a ton of soccer, especially towards the end of like high school, when I was starting to just focus a little bit more, because I knew I was going to play in college. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'd practice twice a week and have a couple games on the weekends, and I thought that was a ton. You know, high school friends, they never saw me. We were at tournaments on the weekends, but now you look and the kids are playing every single day, multiple times, a couple different practices, and then like you said, there's like four hockey games on the weekends. It's like absurd.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's like new tournaments, and it's like, we'll just have a tournament this weekend, so we're going to New York. But you're driving to New York, so you're also going to have your son or daughter in the car for 10 hours?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's brutal, but like I said, we're just kind of doing our best to make sure that, you know, we're doing our part to make sure that this, you know, this athlete is prepared, whether it be, you know, middle school, high school athlete, or even, you know, the college athletes that are now starting to, you know, trickle back in for the summer program. We're just kind of doing our best to make sure it's, again, I don't even care about cars, but another, like, it's basically like your maintenance, you're the car shop, you're going in for like an oil change, and you're just making sure that engine is going to continue to run great, you know, when they leave your building and
absolutely
go do other stuff.
Yeah. It's funny, because throughout my career, especially when I was playing with the national team, it was difficult because we were 11 months on, and you basically one solid month off, throughout the year. But I mean, we did have other periods of time off, but consistently for 11 months, and we had a strength and conditioning coach that would travel with us, so we were on a constant training program. But I loved it whenever I would have like significant amount of time off that I could devote to an off-season program, because I could just feel the benefits of it in the next season. And honestly, it would like propel me even through that season, and I could see again the benefits kind of into the next season as well, because if that makes any sense, just because of the resiliency it brought to me. So I can't imagine just playing year round consistently with no breaks, with no strength training either, or any sort of program. So well, that blows my mind.
You know, to be honest, I think what you're going to find, and it's what we find, is like, that's how we get our athletes. We get the athletes that get injured, and they start coming to our, you know, facility to start training, and then they don't get injured again. They stay with us, you know, until they're through college. So that's, unfortunately, it's just like a really bad thing. But, you know, sometimes, you know, these parents just don't know better, and it's not like they're neglecting their kids. It's just, they don't, this is what they're being told is best for their kids from these people running these leagues and these organizations. And we have to kind of, you know, say, all right, well, you know, Bobby just had a ACL surgery and he's 13. So we got to get him stronger. Like, we have to make sure that he can actually, you know, move laterally without his knees exploding every single time he tries to do it, or as soon as he hits like the third quarter when he's so fatigued, he just continues to have injuries pop up in his ankles and his knees and his hips and stuff. So it's the world that we live in today, but at the, like I said, the same side, you know, at the same time, like, that's also how we're getting a ton of business, is because it's starting to be more of a cornerstone of a kid's athletic development, is being at a strength and conditioning facility twice or three times a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's about educating the kid, but also the parents as well.
Yeah. It's nuts. I mean, I could talk for hours about just crazy stories from people that run these hockey leagues, and even for soccer leagues that we've dealt with. And, and also just crazy, you know, parents that just think, you know, it's your son or daughter. You're going to think they're the greatest thing ever. And we understand that. But you also have to kind of trust our judgment, because it's not our first barbecue. We're professionals. We've been doing this for a while, and yeah, we kind of know what we're doing. And you came to our facility, wouldn't come to you, ask for your help. You came to ask for our help. So, you know, trust our help when we give it to you. That's luckily that stuff. I just take the middle school groups now, so I don't really have to deal with that so much. It's usually like getting towards high school, but it's starting to creep down into middle school too, where these parents are like just doing so much stuff with these kids. It's, kind of driving them into the ground. But let's, we got a ton of other stuff to talk about. So I'm kind of curious, like, as you're, you know, going into this next, I keep on the next chapter. I don't know what the hell.
No, that's fine. It is. I mean, I'm like, gosh, I feel like I should be retired just in general. I mean, it's been like 30 years. I feel like
you should have went on a like trip. You should have went to like Hawaii or something, or Puerto Rico.
I did go to Thailand for 2 weeks, that's which is right. Awesome, from Australia. And that was an amazing trip. But sometimes I'm like, gosh, it's not long enough. I feel like I should be actually just retired now, like going to live somewhere in like Hawaii.
Yeah. But I did it
kind of backwards compared to everyone else. Everyone else in my age is kind of starting their career, just really starting to get into it, and or got the ball rolling, and now I'm like transitioning to a whole new thing. So
the perfect balance is making sure you can figure out how to do this stuff while doing some travel.
And, yeah, exactly. That's very true.
Kill two birds. You don't have to kill them. All right.
So if anybody's listening to this, if you want me to travel somewhere, I don't know what I would be doing, but
you have the perfect perspective that not even we can have as strength coaches. Like you've done both sides of this now, where you have an even better perspective for, you know, speaking at whether I'm sure there's, you know, tons of like soccer, you know, conventions and summits and seminars and stuff like that. But also, you know, for us, like, you know, what we're going to be coming to you for as strength coaches is trying to figure out like what's going to make sense, because you've dealt with this stuff and you've, you know, had these conversations, you know, these stories that we can talk to parents about. And also you kind of know what we can expect when these people hit college, and even like when we have our adult athletes come in too, what should we expect from them? So,
that's a good point.
Yeah. Like I'm excited to see what, you know, and I've got all your stuff bookmarked. I'm sure this isn't going to be the last time that we talk unless, you go and live in a shack in the mountains or something like that.
No. So this is good. And I love being on this. So this is fun.
So, but you know, with all this stuff, like, I guess who are you looking to for like your strength and conditioning stuff? I guess not necessarily who are your mentors, but are there any like methodologies that you guys have, you know, kind of had, at the facility going forward?
Well, I think for me particularly, some people that I always look to are Eric Cressy and Mike Robertson. Mike's from Indiana, and so every time I'm home, that's where I grew up. So every time I'm home, I'll go visit iFast and we'll chat. And Eric was the very first person that ever wrote any of my programs when I was playing professional soccer. So I've always valued his opinion and read anything and everything that he's written. So for me personally, those would be two that pop up right in my head that that I always stop and pause when they're speaking or they're writing something. And I mean, I don't know what else to say about that. And then here, Carmen, he went to Penn State, grew up an athlete, and so a lot of his stuff, he does this through the IYCA, and he's really into, like I said, I think I mentioned to you this previously, was, anybody who has a body is an athlete. Mm-hmm. And so we really, are proponents of, you know, better movement patterns here and just having fun and a lot of play. So it's a very simplistic, gym, or model here. And it's small group, it's like personalized training, but in a small group setting. So There is one program that we roll out for every 6 weeks, with the seventh week being recovery week. Mm-hmm. And then, but it's tailored to the individual. Cool. So, you know, if somebody can't do a proper body weight squat, then obviously we're not going to have them use a barbells. So even though some of our athletes could use, or clients could use, barbell. So it's very tailored to the individual, even though it's one program that we use. And yeah, and it's been, like I said, great in terms of my coaching, and I have a lot of input here, and I feel it will only allow me an opportunity to grow.
What are you most excited about? I know this is a super broad general question, but you can go any way you want with it. But you know, again, with working with, you know, basically two huge, you know, demographics with the adult population and, you know, with the younger athletes, I guess, you know, what are you most excited about? I'm guessing it's going to be more towards the athletic side of things, but like, as you said, your kind of thought process is that everyone's an athlete. So I'm just kind of curious where you're at.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be honest, I love the clientele we're working with. A majority of it right now here at the facility is just general population or weekend warriors. Mm-hmm. So, and I love working with them. It's a great group. But on the outside, I do a lot of individual soccer training, which allows me to work specifically with the younger female athletes. And I really love that because I can just see the desire in some of these young females, you know, within these young females. So it's exciting to see. And they just need, as we were chatting about before, it's just a little education and direction. And so do the parents. So I feel like even just in a couple of training sessions with a lot of the younger athletes, I can make a lot more headway because mm-hmm. they aren't as, you know, when you get into a little bit of a older population, you know, they've been sitting for a number of years at their desks. It's a little bit more difficult to, goodness, how should I say it? Just kind of re-educate them on their movement patterns, or just even making them for, you know, for 30 plus years, they haven't had much body awareness. So it's really just kind of re-educating them. And if you get them at a younger age, then it's easier, I think, and quicker to implement some change. So, and also, you know, my background is sport and specifically soccer. So I love seeing these kids being excited and making headway and getting stronger out in the field. So I would say in terms of what I'm most excited about is just in general is getting more female strength training and embracing a strong athletic body mm-hmm. and just feeling healthy. I mean, that in just a general form is what I'm most excited about. But really specifically is getting younger female athletes and really kind of sad, like ending the stereotype of like you're going to get bulky if you strength train and just getting them feeling empowered through strength and feeling confident on and off the field, because the confidence I developed through strength training off the field was huge as well, you know. And I like to tell the story of when I first started strength training in high school. It was actually a class and I needed to get a few more credits. And so I was like, oh, okay. My dad was like, yeah, you need to do the strength and conditioning class. It's the first time they're offering it. You got to do it. And my dad was like this like hard ass guy that was like, you're going to play soccer, you're going to train and this and that. And so, but by this time I was like loving soccer and I was doing all this stuff on my own because I had a passion for it. So, it was less guidance from my dad, but he's like, I think you should do this. So I signed up for this class. It was me and this other female athlete in the class. We were the only two, and it was our football coach was running the class. So we were doing all these, everything that the football team was doing. So I don't think that was like the best, but you know, at the time I didn't know. We were just squatting, deadlifting, and bench pressing. But the best part about it is the woman's name was Amber Campbell. And she ended up going to the 2012 Olympics as well for shot put. And oh, wow. So it's just like a fun story that the two of us, and she was beast and I loved it because she was always beating me and I thought I was pretty strong. And so, and every time I think she actually took the earlier class than I did. So I'd come in and see her numbers. And I was like, damn, she's beating me again. How is she squatting this amount? And so, but it's always fun to tell that story because here's two young, like, you know, 14-year-old girls, like, getting after it in the mm-hmm. weight room and loving it. And obviously I would change some of the stuff I was doing now, but At the time, it was just about having a good time, getting stronger. And I can't tell you, the guys on the football team or whoever was taking the class loved it. They loved seeing us compete. They embraced it, and they were cheering us on. So it was fun, and that gave me a ton of confidence. Like I said, off the field too. So
awesome. Well, I'm like super, like I said, I'm super pumped to kind of see where you go and what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to make sure, and everyone listening should make sure, that you're following Lori on Twitter at Lori Lindsay 6, and Ambitious Athletics is also on Twitter at mm-hmm. Ambitious ATHL. And if you're in the DC area, like, I was checking out your guys' prices. Like, man, that's good prices. I'm going to come train down there for a little bit. I'm going to come down to DC for a little bit. And the facility looks beautiful. You guys look like you did a great job outfitting that place, to kick some ass and lift some weights.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And obviously, like I said, there's been some challenges, but I embrace those challenges. So it's been good.
Well, I'm sure, like I said, we're going to be talking again soon. And hopefully I'll be, seeing you soon. I don't know if you're going to be hitting up any of the, there's always seminars coming up. So now the cool thing with you being in this world, higher chance that we'll run into each other. But for everyone else out there, is there anything that people should keep an eye out for besides those, a couple things? So the website is still in progress?
Yeah, the website's in progress. I'm trying to buy LoriLindsay.com. Somebody else owns that. So that's been a little bit of an issue. But hopefully that will come about soon. And I think you touched base on all the social media. I'm also on Instagram at LoriLindsay6, so you can follow me there. I'll be posting some videos in terms of training on there as well in the upcoming weeks. So check me out there. And Kev, I'll actually be getting to Boston, I think, in July or August. My brother and his wife are expecting a baby in July.
Nice.
So I'm hoping to get there. So if I do, I'll hit you up and hopefully we can grab coffee.
You should come down to MBSC.
Yeah, I will.
See the monster that is our summer program with 300 kids walking through that door every day.
Oh, yeah, awesome. I'll definitely hit you up.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode. If you are a Patreon supporter, right after this, you're going to get about a 20-minute agenda-free segment with Lori as well. So don't turn it off just yet if you want to hear that. For everyone else, if you do want to support the show and get awesome stuff like those agenda-free segments, you can go to patreon.com/thefitcast. That's patreon.com/thefitcast. You get access to all that stuff starting at just $1 of support per episode. So it's $4 per month. If you do that, that means I'm going to continue to do this show on a weekly basis. It allows me to set aside the time to do that. And also you get the shows at least 1 week early. So it's a pretty good deal. Again, hopefully everyone out there, I know you guys hear me say it every week, but if you enjoy the show and you think it's worth supporting, that is how you can do it and show your support that way. So thank you to all of you out there that are already supporting the show. And Lori, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Yeah, thank you. This is a blast.
Well, that's going to do it. Like I said, go to iTunes, subscribe on there. Also, check out Nia Shanks' podcast, Lift Like a Girl, as well. TheFitCast.com. I'm at Kevin Larrabee, at FitCast on Twitter. And I think I got all the promotional stuff out of the way. Thanks, as always, for listening. And we'll see you next week. Happy fun.